Let's begin, please, over in the Gospel according to John in the third chapter. And I have, as I was sitting here and just reflecting on the events of the morning, there are two thoughts that I would like for us to share together. One is something that I sense occurring in my life and have for some time, and more as the years go on, with every passing day, it seems to be stronger. And it's the kind of thing that's occurring in my life that if you weren't walking in the Spirit and it was occurring in your life, you could misunderstand it. You could even misunderstand it as it was occurring in the life of someone else. Misunderstand what's actually happening there. Now, the Gospel of John, the third chapter, we see at the tail end of the chapter, beginning to read in verse 25. Then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. Here's an argument going on among religious people. And so they came to John and looking for a conclusion. They came to John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, talking about Jesus, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him. Now they were upset over that, because they were followers of John. John was their pastor, so to speak. He was their preacher. He was their leader. He was their man. But while John understood that his mission was not to draw men unto himself, but his mission was to draw men to the Master, he in fact said, there's one coming after me, the latches of whose shoes I am not even worthy to unloose. He is the one, I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Okay. So don't you look at me, look at the one who's coming. But here among his disciples there was confusion. And here is the one to whom John had given his life. John had sacrificed his life, as it were, totally and completely in order to prepare the way for Jesus. And now here comes Jesus, and he begins to do the work that he was sent to do, and John's disciples get all upset over it. And so they come to John and they're expecting John to take their side. They say, this man Jesus, he's baptizing. And all the people are going to him. What about us? What about you? They're all following him. And John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. John said, those of you who have been following me thus far, you followed me because God gave you to me. He said, those of you who have listened to my teaching and my instruction, the reason that you have is because God put that in your heart. And these other people who have been with us all along and are now turning to follow this other man, this Jesus, the reason they're following Jesus is because God gave them to him. And these men did not know that it was only going to be a short time when they also were going to be given to the Lord Jesus. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. I already told you this. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. What did he say? My joy is fulfilled when those whom I have influence over are drawn to Jesus.
Hallelujah.
If I can influence you, John said, I'm not the bridegroom. I'm a friend of the bridegroom. I don't want the bride for myself. The bride belongs to Christ. And so my joy is fulfilled as I see the bride recognizing her bridegroom. And I don't know if I know it makes sense to you, but I don't know if you can really identify with that unless you've been in that kind of a position. Here in this work, we're not trying to build an empire or even build a church. It's not my purpose to build a church. I want to help build God's kingdom, and I want to draw people to the Lord. I appreciate the affection that you have for me and have long had. It's very precious to me. But it would be worth nothing if you did not love the Lord. Then verse 30, and this is the verse I really wanted you to see. John said, "He must increase, but I must decrease." This is what I sense is happening in my life and has been for some time. When it first began to happen, I kind of struggled against it. But how can I express this to you? I don't even know how to put it into words to you. I feel the less I become, the more at peace I am. Does that make any sense to you? The more decreased I become in terms of what I can do and get done and so on, the less I can do that, the better I feel about myself and where I am and what I'm doing. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly. Oh, do you see that? And speaketh of the earth, but he that cometh from heaven is above all. Hallelujah is right. Now let's move over to 2 Corinthians. Huh? I'm sorry, we'll go there, but let's look at John 15 first. I'm so thankful for the Holy Spirit. For the Holy Spirit can teach us things and show us things that it's impossible for us to express in words. In John 15, Jesus is talking to his disciples just prior to his going away. And in verse number 4, he said to them, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me." Now notice what that says. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. For the Holy Spirit can teach us things and show us things that it's impossible for us to express in words. In John 15, Jesus is talking to his disciples just prior to his going away. And in verse number 4, he said to them, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me." Now notice what that says. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. Now what does that say about me, and what does it say about you? It says about me something that I've been more and more aware of, as the days and months and years have passed. And that is that I can do nothing apart from the Lord. And the only thing that gets done in my life that's positive is not what I do for Him, it's what He does in me and through me. And if He doesn't do it, then it's not worth getting done. It's not worth doing. For He goes on in the next verse, in the 5th, and He said, "I am the vine, and ye are the branches. Except ye abide in the vine." I jumped up another verse. "He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit." Now, watch that. "He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit." I believe you want the same thing I do. I want my life to count. I want to bring forth much fruit. Not just a little bit. I want a lot of fruit to be born in my life. When my life is over, I want there to be a lot of fruit left behind, and I want it to be enduring fruit, remaining fruit. And Jesus clearly said that unless you abide in me, you cannot bear anything. But if you abide in me, then you will bear much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. Now, I've always known that, but I am now knowing it. Do you understand what I'm saying? I am seeing it more and more and more. And it's not, I don't mean that I'm encountering a lot of failure and so on, and I'm being beaten down with it. That's not it. I'm seeing it in my spirit. I'm just seeing that apart from the Lord, I can do absolutely nothing. And then let's go over to 2 Corinthians 4. Now, I understand Philippians 4 that says, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. And I know that and believe that. But you don't, you got to know you need Christ to strengthen you before you'll ever have him operating in you. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse number 7. For we have this treasure in earthen vessels. What is Paul saying? I recognize that I am just made out of clay. I'm an earthen vessel. That which makes me up are the chemical components of dirt. And that when my body is done, it'll return to the dirt, and you won't even know that I was here. But we have a treasure on the inside of us, and we recognize that this treasure is in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Now, I lived a long time as a Christian, trying to get God to do what I thought he ought to do. I spent a lot of time even trying to figure out, God, what is it you want to do so that I can ask you to do it and then get it done. But I'm coming very gradually, I guess, but inexorably to the place where I know that the plan is his, the means are his, the glory is his. And I'm simply one pot among many that he would want to use. And I've determined to rest in that. And then the next verse is Galatians 2. Can I say to you that when my life and ministry is done, I don't care if anybody knows that Vic Rockhill was ever involved in it. It didn't make any difference to me. I don't want the Vic Rockhill Memorial Building or the Vic Rockhill Memorial Softball Field or trailer. I just want Jesus to be glorified. That's all I care about. Do you know, John, it's interesting to me that John the Baptist, Jesus said about John that he was the greatest prophet that ever lived. But you know, it wasn't very long after the verses that we read, he must increase and I must decrease. And do you know how John decreased? He decreased with a beheading. See? And he went to that doing what? Doing the work of God. He went to that calling down sin. He went to that doing the work that God had told him to do. Do you know the reason that he, do you know the reason he was killed that way? Because he stood against easy divorce. Hello?
Amen.
Cost him his life. He said to the king, he said, King, it's not right that you should marry your brother's wife. That is not right. And he lost his head over it. But he spoke the word that God gave him. And it cost him everything. But you see, he had his head screwed on straight, so to speak. He knew that he was to be sacrificed if necessary. Jimbo, you said in the scripture that you quoted today, as it is written, we are lambs for the slaughter. We are lambs for the slaughter. We're earthen vessels in whom the power of God is excellent, so that when the final analysis is made, it will be God that gets the glory and not us. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, Paul said,
greatest of the apostles, probably. But he said, it's not I that live, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And I'm sure he and John and some of the rest of them, I'm sure they bore some frustration over their ministries and over their lives. But they had come to a decision that without the Lord they could do nothing, that they had to decrease in order that the Lord should increase, and whatever the Lord wanted to do with them was all right. If he wanted them to be stoned, to Paul said, that's okay. If it is that the Lord wants to use me to get my head taken off, John said, that's okay. Paul said, it's all right if the Lord wants to use me in such a way that causes me to be shipwrecked and almost killed, or to take 39 stripes three times, or to be let down over a wall in order to escape, or to be stoned and left for dead. He said, that's okay. That's okay, because that's my reasonable service. I present my body to the Lord as the only way I know how, holy, acceptable in His sight. That's my reasonable service, and He can do with me whatever He wants. Now, jump over with me to the 6th chapter of the book of Ephesians, and let me just conclude my remarks earlier by saying some of what I'm saying, I think you probably have to read between the lines to get, because I don't know exactly how to give it to you in words. But those of you who are spiritually sensitive here this morning will be able to pick that up. I'm not even sure what the Lord may be saying I think He may be putting some things between the lines for different people in the congregation this morning, things that I don't even understand. All I know is that I just felt impressed to share with you my heart this morning and to express to you the fact that I identify with John, and it's not that I'm looking for my head to be cut off, but I identify with Paul, and in those areas, with regard to what they said, I had a man tell me one day, Vic, you're becoming passive. I thought about that a long time, because the man I respect. And I've determined that that's not passivity. It's rather peace. And it's not indifference, but it's rather faith. And I've come to the conclusion that unless the Lord does it in me, I tried to manipulate him for years. And I tried that. And all I got was in a sweat. Because I can't force him to do anything. The scripture indicates that in one of Paul's letters. Who has given counsel to the Lord? I can't give him any counsel. Are you kidding? All I can do is get counsel from him and allow him to do in me what he wants to do. I can say this to you, that if he never wanted to do another thing in me, that would suit me fine. It would suit me fine. For as long as I can stand before him and hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. You know, that's really all any of us are, aren't we? Matter of fact, turn over to 2 Chronicles with me, chapter 12. I was reading this morning. 2 Chronicles, chapter 12. Is it 12 or 8? I believe it's 12. 2 Chronicles 12. This really struck me. Dei horate, doria paho, ye covita.
horikampa, yoche maka, yei tofia, yei dona. Hotama. Hotama shukia. Hold the bucket sheet on Noah. Hoi pakua. Hakushika. O kamatia. Hoitama.
That's between the Lord and me, or me and the Lord. In the Second Chronicles 12 here, there's the whole chapter is good. It's the story of Rehoboam, who was Solomon's son, and he turned out to be not at all like his grandfather David, and he forsook God, and the Lord raised up the armies of Egypt to come against Judah. And verse number 8, where he's talking about, they prayed, apparently here in verse 6, the king humbled himself and the leaders of the people, and they said, we're wrong. And so the Lord said, they've humbled themselves, verse 7, I'll not destroy them, but I will grant them some deliverance. And notice that what he said, I will grant them some deliverance. And my wrath shall not be poured out on Jerusalem by the hand of Shishak, who was the Egyptian general. But verse 8 is the key verse. Nevertheless, they shall be his servants, that they may know my service and the service of the kingdoms of the countries. Now, I've read over that verse many times, and I never really saw the stark contrast that is given in that verse. He said, I'm going to let my people serve their enemies so that they will know the difference between serving God and serving the world. And the Lord was sharing with me this morning as I was reading this that a man will either serve God or he'll serve the world. If he refuses to serve God, then he must serve the world. And I served that world for 37 years. I'm not going to serve it again. I'm going to serve God. I don't care what it takes. It doesn't matter what it takes. I'm going to serve the Lord. And I see in my own life, and here it is confirmed in the Word, you see what he said? That they may know my service and the service of the kingdoms of the countries. I'm going to show my people that when they won't serve me, they'll have to serve the world. And you and I have to make a clear choice. We either serve God or we serve the world. I've decided to serve the Lord. I pray that you will too. And I have decided not to serve anything other than the Lord, which even is the opinions of good men. You know, sometimes you can serve the opinions of good men, well-intentioned men, but I've decided I'm not going to do that. I'm going to serve the Lord. All right, let's go over to Ephesians, and let me just read down through this passage. I felt impressed to share it with you today, and we just share it and see how the Lord would lead. Verse 10, familiar verses. Finally, my brethren, be strong in what you know. Be strong in your ability. Be strong in your zealousness. What's it say? Be strong how?
Lord.
In the Lord. And in the power of your experience. No? In the power of your ability. In the power of your people. In the power of your resources, in the power of His might. Key. Until we learn how to be strong in Him and in His power, nothing of any eternal value is going to be accomplished. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Yes, he is wily. Yes, he is sly, and he's slick, and he's cunning. And yes, he's been around longer than we have, and he's dealt with people a lot longer than we have, and he knows the human condition better than we do. But the Word of God says that we may be able to stand. And so while he may be wily, we have the upper hand. God has given us a means whereby we can stand. For we wrestle not against, put on the whole armor of God, you can stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Another translation says wicked spirits in the heavenly realms, wrestling against demonic powers. Now, how many of you have ever had occasion to wrestle against demonic powers? What's the matter with the rest of you? You dead? Or just dumb, don't know that it was the devil? No, I'm serious. What is it? Or is your arm too tired? I'm not trying to intimidate you. I'm serious. We're all wrestling against principalities and powers. Those who rule the darkness of this world. That is all except the pastor. See, he doesn't have to wrestle against those things because he's holy and separate. He doesn't have any problems like that because he's God's anointed. I think some people think that. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. These are some of the pieces of the armor. Having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, this is what I want you to see. Above all, doing what? What is the most important part of our armor?
Shield.
Above all, Paul said, if you don't do anything else, take the shield of faith. Because even if you do the others, if you don't have the shield of faith, it will not be enough for you. The shield of faith is what keeps the fiery darts of the wicked one from destroying you. Take the shield of faith wherewith ye shall be able to quench most of the fiery darts. All the fiery darts of the wicked. Now, what I sense happening in my life is, as I am understanding that I'm decreasing in order that he might increase, you know what I find happening in me? I find my faith shield becoming bigger and stronger and more always up. And the things that used to get through don't get through anymore. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, doing what? Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. And for me, watch this now. Paul said, pray for me. Paul said, pray for me. Are you kidding me? The Apostle Paul requested prayer. He said, pray for me how? Always. With all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watch with steadfastness and perseverance and supplication unto God. I include me in that request. Here's how I want you to pray, Paul said. Pray that utterance may be given unto me. Now, why should that be necessary? Didn't he have the anointing? He also had an enemy, didn't he? He had an anointing, but he had opposition. And so he said, people pray for me, that God will, that's what I was praying here just a moment ago in the Spirit, that the Lord would fill my mouth with his truth. And this is what Paul is praying here, that utterance may be given unto me. Pray for me that God will fill my mouth, Paul said, with words that are his, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. I want you to pray so that that will happen. Now watch verse 20. For which I am an ambassador in bonds. Now, Paul was talking here about being an ambassador for Christ from prison in physical chains. But do you know that God's people can be in spiritual chains? Do you know that your pastor can be in spiritual chains? Do you know that other authorities within the body can be in spiritual chains? Do you know that the devil is looking to throw those things around? You know, I've got a... Some of you know I have a few head of cattle at my place, and I've got one. I had her up in the barn because I was weaning her. She's about 400, 450 pounds. She's a little bigger than I am, a little stronger than I am, and a little more aggressive and more agile than I am, and she's a little wild. And I had her up in the stall, and I had her in the stall to wean her, I thought, well, I'll teach her to yield to my hand, and so I could fool with her, you know, and so on. So I began to move around the pen that she was in, and she hauled off and kicked me. And she got me in the hand here. So I figured, well, I need to get serious about this. And I got me out a rope. And I made a loop in it. And I did my Tom Mix you know, deal? Whatever your generation was. In my generation, cowboys threw ropes over cows. In today's generation, the cowboys are usually in bed with somebody else's wife. And the movies have changed. But as I threw that rope over her, I missed her head. I got her in the foot. And so I went on to, you know, had a three-legged calf there for a while, and I was able to bring her under control. Now, the point of my story is this. The devil does throw his rope sometimes for my head, and he'll miss my head, but he'll get my foot. Are you listening? And while it may not even appear that there's a problem, I'm trying to shake that. Haven't you ever experienced that? And it's a type of a bond. Paul said, I'm in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. I need you to pray for me, he said, because there are times when I am chained, and I need you to minister on my behalf that I may be able to speak boldly and have the truth of God to express and to share. So let me have you stand to your feet. That's all I want to say today.